I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike's show.
Since I know that I reek,
then it's okay.
Then it's, you can't make fun of me for it or think less of me because I know it.
Oh, I probably smell bad.
And the bulldog.
You don't take that many showers, but you make it work.
Shower every day. I can't, it's a part of the thing for me. The shower, I don't feel good. Regardless of the exercise, I wouldn't feel good without a shower.
I don't feel good with a shower. I need these natural oils to sink into the skin, you know? It's beneficial. The body regulates itself.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
When normal people take a shower and use deodorant, you know, because they don't want to smell
bad. Do you do that,
Bulldog?
Do you do both?
Yes.
But my father's one of these people. He doesn't have to use deodorant at all. He's just a natural, good-smelling man who does not need deodorant.
No way. I want to see your dad again, and I'm gonna.
You can grill him about this.
I want to smell your dad.
You can grill him.
I just said that on the radio.
On WGR.
I want to smell your dad.
Sports Radio 550.
Do you know how old LeBron James is?
I do not. I'm going to guess that he is 32.
33.
All right.
You guessed low probably because I'm asking you. You think like it's going to be surprisingly low, young?
Yeah. I mean, because he's been around so long, but, you know, he came right out of high school. So, you know, that mitigates how long he's been in the national consciousness. At least how long he's been in the NBA anyway. People were aware of him before he got to the NBA, obviously, but yeah.
Do you consider him the best basketball player ever? I do.
I have no problem at all saying that.
I mean, Chamberlain, I don't know. What do you do with Chamberlain, right? Like he's 7'1" or whatever he was, and I'm pretty sure like everybody else in the league was like 6'2". And so, like, Chamberlain just comes in and he scores 100 points. And
right.
I don't know. What do you do with that? But
yeah.
I've got no problem putting LeBron James above Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, Jordan was incredible, but I've got no hesitation.
No. I did some reading on this. Recently, there was a pretty good breakdown. Championship points value added and all kinds of things that I'm not that familiar with.
How did it come out?
LeBron. You know, playoff performances and just, you know, I it's reasonable to me to certainly assert it. You know, we were it's funny, we were I don't know, not exactly arguing about this last weekend when we were in Syracuse, but like it came up and, you know, like the case for Jordan is equally compelling. Like he's you know, was an unbelievable and super influential talent and a global phenomenon. That like LeBron James is just, there's just so much there. Having lived through Jordan and watching him and appreciating him and rooting for him, like James, I find watching James more compelling. And I think it's just the skill set is so varied. I find watching him more like I want to see it more than I remember needing to see or wanting to see Jordan.
I love Jordan.
Sure. Me too.
Who did you root for? So here's my basketball. 80s, when I started to care about it, I rooted for the Lakers over Boston because it was like, to me, those were the only two teams almost.
Right. And I liked Boston then.
And then I got to college and after college, and it was the Knicks for me. 90s, it was the Knicks for me. The Ewing Knicks. I rooted for the Ewing Knicks. And they would play the Bulls often and lose, except for the one time when he was retired. And I was always pro-Knicks against the Bulls. And I don't really know why, but I just was.
Yeah.
But when it was Bulls in the finals, I always rooted for the Bulls.
Right.
Like, I never wanted them to lose.
Same here.
I'm the same way about Golden State. Like, I want, in a sports league where I'm only a casual observer, I kind of want the same team to win all the time. I like the storyline.
Mm-hmm. I think I had a little bit of a Knick thing, but they were never my favorite team. And the Bulls weren't really ever my favorite team, but it's one of those things where you just start sort of rooting for the greatness. You know, like just seeing them there again. Like, I want to see this best player in the league just continue to stack them up. I liked Jordan a lot. I don't know that I ever would say that I loved him or like that I was a big Bulls fan. Like, I don't think I really had much of a favorite team in his era. I know I really wanted him to beat the Pistons. I remember not liking the Pistons.
Me too.
Before
they got there. Right. Like, before the Bulls broke through.
Right, exactly.
I wanted the Bulls to beat the Pistons.
Right. So, I
like the Pistons looking back.
Sure. But I like the Bulls enough to root for them when they would run up against Detroit.
And they would lose.
Right. And then finally they got through, and then they won, you know, 6 championships in whatever it was, 8 years or 9 years.
8 years.
8 years, yeah.
And I always wanted them to win those series. Like the Barkley Suns, Malone and Stockton twice, the one Sonic team with Kemp and Gary Payton.
Right.
The Lakers at the beginning with Magic, and I guess I'm missing one, but Portland. Yeah. So, was a big Jordan fan, like probably most people, but I just consider without like staring at numbers ever. Like, this is the sport where I just never do that. I've got LeBron James basketball reference page up. It's massive.
You're right.
It's blindingly incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they have Hall of Fame percentage, and it's like 100%.
Yeah.
There's not even a metric here that pokes any hole into him as a legend.
Right. I don't have the numbers memorized. But as I said, this piece I read at ESPN.com, it was like a week or two ago. Maybe it was that Friday when you got sick suddenly. I don't know, whatever. I just remember reading it and going like, and it came out, you know, LeBron, you know, not in any kind of a blowout, obviously, but like, you know, he statistically, by these measures, you can put him ahead of Jordan. And a part of it is like, he's still going. So he's still going to be able to add on. So that he's already, again, by certain measures, passed him. And there's still more to come. Like, this was in the middle of the playoffs this year. And here he is in the conference final again. And who knows what happens from here. There's that. For me, the LeBron thing has been, like, emotional in that the amount of criticism that there is there. Like, I don't remember people wanting to tell you that Jordan wasn't as good as blank. Chamberlain was better, or Bill Russ. I don't know. Maybe that was out there, but it's just we're in just such a different time with the way we consume sports and the way we talk about sports. And Twitter is a big, big, big part of this. But LeBron immediately had detractors. And, you know, the fiasco when he left Cleveland the first time certainly put a giant target on him, and, you know, rightly so. I mean, that was just a garbage fire. But to deny how great he is, like, is insane to me. And people doing it for whatever their reasons are, whatever their agenda is, whether it's just to be heard, to try to get ratings, to try to eyeballs, whatever it is, his detractors have made me want to dig in more than ever on him and root for him. Like, I want him to win so that people who have been criticizing him have to eat it in a way that is, you know, we talked about this in the run-up to the NFL draft. There's certain quarterbacks mm-hmm. that, you know, elicit a certain response from fans, and like they get a lot of criticism before they're even picked. And Allen is one of these guys that was like that.
Yeah.
And the Bills picked him. And Lamar Jackson was somewhat like that too. You know, maybe he should play receiver. Oh my gosh. See, I always want to root for that guy. LeBron James is undeniably great, and there are still people that are always hacking at him, and I want him to jam it down their throats. So, like, I'm always rooting for him. which is why when you asked me the other day, like, if he leaves there, like, what then? And, you know, I thought about that more even after that show. And I will root for him wherever he goes. I L.A. would be really challenging, but I want him to win. Because I think he's undeniably great, and you are a blind maniac if you are trying to argue otherwise.
Hashtag blind maniac.
Blind maniac.
Here's Bob with us. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, thank you.
I was actually at Game 4 this year. I went to Game 4 of the championship game against Boston. And I'll tell you what, you can't comprehend how much this guy is just a man among boys until you see him live. I mean, it was just amazing. And I've been to basketball games, but I've never seen anyone just control the game like he does. I walked out of there with, even though, I mean, everybody says, LeBron's one of the greats. I walked out with a newfound respect for that guy just to watch him out there. Every time he had the ball, it was just amazing. And the things he did, the shots he made were crazy. So I hands down say this guy, and I never saw Jordan live, but for my two cents, he is hands down the best player I've ever seen.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Bob, what are your plans this weekend?
Actually, I'm getting ready going to Vegas.
Nice.
Day.
Are you going to the Cup?
I was thinking about it. I was actually very contemplating going, see if I can grab just a single ticket, because I'm staying at the hotel right next door. So I'm thinking about maybe going.
Have you looked at prices?
Not yet, so I'm a little afraid to. But
yeah, I think with good reason. Yeah. I have a friend who's going to be there on Monday, and he said he saw $900 for the cheapest single seat. Right now on StubHub it says from $848.
Yeah,
2,100 tickets left. I bet.
Wow. I wonder how hockey's going to go over in Vegas.
What you do, Bob, of course, is you find out which casinos can hook you up and just gamble like crazy.
Right.
And get the comp tickets.
The one I'm staying at is right next door, so maybe they'll give me some kind of bonus.
Where is that? You don't have to tell us where you're staying, but like just approximately at least. I don't.
MGM Park.
Okay.
Monte Carlo. The Monte Carlo is literally right behind the Monte Carlo.
Okay. I've stayed there.
Yeah.
Nice. I never knew where the arena was. Cool. All right. Thanks, Bob. Have fun.
Yep.
All right.
That'll be a pretty cool scene.
The Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
May I? The Monte Carlo, my first time in Vegas, there's a lot I remember about that trip. One is that you take, who knows if it's still like this. Bob was on the phone. I could have asked him. You take this little tram from Monte Carlo to the Bellagio. Like it's everything about Vegas, you were there. Like these huge casinos are just right in a line on the strip, but it's not like walking next door.
No.
I mean, it's a walk from one to the next.
I know.
So you take this little tram ride.
Find that
tram
out the hard
ride.
Way sometimes.
Yeah. And Monte Carlo to Bellagio had a connecting train, and I was on that thing so many times that Conti Partiro Bocelli is still in my head from that tram in Vegas. That's a trip where I was meeting my sister and mother out there. I lived in Rochester then. And so I was flying from Rochester to Vegas, and they were flying from Buffalo to Vegas, and I landed. I'd never been there before, and so the first thing I do is to check on them, like, are they here yet, or what time do they land, or whatever. And I got a voicemail from my sister that said, we got to Chicago and turned around. They thought that the flight was so bumpy for them, flying from Buffalo to Chicago, that they just got out of, they took a car back home.
They were scared to continue.
They did not continue. And now Betsy flies everywhere.
Right. I can understand doing that. Although, I don't know. If I was going to Vegas, I think I might want to try to tough it out.
I'm out there, and everybody in my family, this is the only time I think this has ever happened. Well, there was one other time that I don't need to mention. Like, my family members felt bad for me. Like, my mom and my sister felt guilty, like they sort of left me there. Betsy worked to get me tickets to shows, you know, even though she wasn't going to be out there. She had some hookup at the Monte Carlo. Lance Burton, the magician. And everybody was like, what can we do for you? Like, well, you know, make a donation.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
And like, I got money to spend on that trip. And my girlfriend, not the woman I'm married to now, she lived in Rochester. And I like said, you won't believe what happened. They're not coming. I'm out here by myself. By the way, 85 and sunny, perfect Monday.
Yeah, rain on Sunday.
They're not coming. I'm out here by myself. Like, really? And then the next, so, you know, I'm in Vegas, the first night of my life ever being there. and I'm just trying to get as much of it as I can. I'm gambling all the time. I'm walking around. I'm taking this tram. I'm doing whatever I can do. You go to bed at like 3 in the morning or whatever. Just finally, I'm done, and I'm asleep, and there's a knock at the door the next morning. It might have been like 10 in the morning or something. There's a knock at the door the next morning, and I'm thinking to myself, I put the little sign on the door.
Right, who could that be?
Do not disturb. I really don't want housekeeping right now. And so I'm like, I'm all set. I'm just yelling. I'm asleep. I'm all set. And then no response. And then just more. Eventually, I have to get up and open the door, and my girlfriend is at the door. She's like, yeah, Priceline. I came out. Hi. It's nice. Great move.
That was okay. That was no, welcome. Welcome.
No,
that
I was alone. Yeah, that was a great move.
Right. Okay.
That was
good. All right.
I was not up to anything.
All right.
That was a great move.
Well, good. But I mean, even though like you weren't looking forward to just being there alone.
No, I was very happy to have her arrive. I was stunned and very excited.
Yeah. Good. Good. That walking, that, like, I don't know, lots of people have probably had this happen to them. But the first time I ever went there with my wife, this would have been like February, maybe March of 98. It's the year the NASCAR track is opening out there. We're not married yet, but we're a couple. We've been together a while. Like, let's go to Vegas. I really want to go see a NASCAR race. I've never been there, and she like loves, like, she had been to Zion National Park and what's the other one? There's another Utah. There's a couple of parks that are very close by, or at least, you know, whatever, reasonable drive. So we'll do that. We'll do some Vegas stuff, and like it was, you know, a nice trip. Go to the NASCAR race, which she really loved because it was like a 10-hour day, and she read a whole book. But like walking the strip, I remember we stayed at the Tropicana, which is near the MGM down New York.
Old.
New York is right. Old. The Tropicana is an old, right. And you know, start walking, like, well, let's walk to Caesars. Like, I can see it over there. Like, it's not that far.
Right.
And you're walking and you're walking and you're
so
walking.
Far.
And it's just like, I can still see it. We've been walking for like a half an hour and like, holy bleep, like, this is ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, stop. Like, we got to stop for drinks. I'm dying. What's going on?
And people tried to hand you those little come to our club tickets,
right,
like 50 times,
right,
between the two,
it's
places.
So far, it's very deceptive, because you can see what you want to get to and where it is, and it's deceiving. You just think you're gonna, oh, it's probably a 10-minute walk, let's go.
Do you know the line when I went out there at the McEntees and John saw me talking to somebody one time, John McEntee, and he said, listen, there's the thing you say if you ever need to lose somebody in this town. Just tell them you'll meet them in front of Caesars.
Yeah, right.
And you could actually be out in front of Caesars and just no chance. Forget
right,
it.
Right.
They will never find you.
It's just so massive. Yeah. So, like, I don't even remember if we... I think we gave up. I don't think we walked. I don't think we walked there. I think eventually we took a cab from where we were to the other, like, halfway down the
right.
street. Like, okay.
Now, plus, it's 108.
Right. So let's go see some other stuff now. But the walking was like, no, I'm not doing that again.
Remember my story? You know my story with Brad out there?
So
many. I haven't even been here there in so long and. Whatever. I don't have the best Vegas stories, but I've got a couple that I like. I was there with Brad Ryder one night, and we were at a place called the Barbary Coast, another old place with the billboard out front that says steak and eggs, $2.99
right.
or whatever. So we're in there. I think he liked it a little bit seedy.
Yeah.
So we go, and I need to be dragged to seedy.
That's how Brad is. Brad and I are like that, seedy.
Dragged to seedy. So I'm in there with him. Somewhat reluctantly, but, you know, fine. There's still a casino. Really dead, like super late at night. And there's a lounge singer in a place. Like, it's not, whatever your picture of this is, it's the least glamorous setting you can imagine. And the lounge singer is peak lounge singer. The bad toupee.
Right.
The bad suit. Like, it's right out of the book.
Perfect, right.
Perfect.
I would love that.
So we're just in there like, this is awesome. And then people came over, and this is a long time ago now, so I might have some details wrong. I wonder how Brad tells this story. People came over to try to get us to sign a release there was a show coming up in the back, and they wouldn't tell you what it was, but you needed to sign a release to go to it. And I'm already sort of reluctant being there. I'm like, I am out. I'm not going to this show. And he kind of wanted to. I don't think he did. And we're just like, so what is the show? Why can't he was doing the talking. Why can't you tell us? And they wouldn't tell us. And then we saw two people in costumes running through the casino with chainsaws that had to be part of whatever this thing was, right?
That is just so perfect. So,
and the whole time, the guy is still up there banging out My Way.
Right?
Right? So
are the chainsaws running?
I don't remember. Right. You got chainsaws, you got My Way, and you've got the machines. Jeopardy, right? You know. So, Wheel of Fortune. And we're sitting in there, and it passes. We're not going to the show, and the guy's finishing up, and he is singing My Way like it's never been sung. This guy is going all in on this song. And it ends, and no one else is there. Like, just there might have been 10 people in there. The song ends, and there's just dead silence. And before I'm gonna clap for this guy. Like I just thought, like you have to. Before I can, the machine that I'm on, like as loud as can be, it's the Johnny Gilbert voice. This is Jeopardy. And like Vegas,
right? What a moment!
You got
that
chainsaws,
is. Right?
The lounge guy, the machines, all in 1 minute.
This poor guy, this lounge singer.
Right.
That's got to be a moment. You're on
stage. Oh, you just wanted to go up there and hug him.
Right.
After
like,
that.
Like I'm so sorry.
Dude, you deserve better.
Right. Sorry about the machine.
I hope you love this.
Sorry
because
about all of it.
This is really depressing. Yep, that was 2003,
right.
That trip.
Oh, man.
All right. So, Bob, thank you, Bob. He called to say that he saw LeBron in person. I saw him last year. It was great. Durant's the same way, I think. Like, seeing Durant in person, like, what can't the guy do? Just amazing. And so, you've got Game 6 tonight, Boston at Cleveland, and we'll have the game here on WGR. We've got Joe's memory of one of our shows Memorial Day weekend. Joe's memory of one of our shows.
Right.
We'll have that and we continue here. 803-0550 is the number. Hope you have a good Memorial Day weekend. That was a Channel 2 forecast, 85 and sunny Monday.
Right.
Did I promise you or what?
I know, right? Chance of rain Sunday p.m., it said.
Whatever.
Did you see Saturday? I didn't see Saturday. I hope Saturday's
perfect.
Good. Okay.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
80 and sunny. Perfect.
Well.
This holiday? Thank you.
Bring it.
And it's meaningful. We will be back with sports. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
I think, you know, there may be a little bit of a short-term setback if A.J. McCarron cannot play at the Tyrod Taylor level. Because, again, as you know, I like Tyrod Taylor. I thought he got, you know, a lot of points out of the offense that maybe may not have been there with all the transition that was going on. So, I mean, if he can get the 22 to 23-point level, then that's great. But if he doesn't, then there's going to be a little bit of a short-term setback. But I think in the long term, getting Josh Allen was a great move.
John Clayton with us. If you missed it, we'll have that again for you next hour. I think Josh Allen plays earlier than that and earlier than I think you think he'll play.
Right.
We'll see. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for listening. Here's Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan.
Doing today. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing, man. Thanks for calling us.
Not a problem. You were talking favorite sports memories and also memories of the show. And I start off with my favorite memory of the show was in 2007 when I won tickets from you guys to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, wow. So where? Anaheim?
Yeah, it was a game, I believe it was game one that we went to, my wife and I. And, one of the verses and good times that was.
Cool. Yeah, I don't remember that contest, but I love that we did
it. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, you guys, it was, like, based on Cliffhanger, the old Price is Right game.
Uh-huh.
So I thank you for that.
Good for you.
And favorite sports memories. My dad and, well, basically our whole family are huge Cincinnati Reds fans. For the past 31 years, we've been going down for opening day every year. And then my dad and I, we went to the playoffs in 90. And then also he and I went to game one of the World Series. And Eric Davis, take Dave Stewart Yard.
Yes.
And then in 2015, the two of us were able to go to the All-Star game together in Cincinnati. So kind of family memories.
Did you know that Bulldog and I both, our first ever major league game was in Cincinnati?
Was it really?
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Mine was probably in like 79.
Nice.
And yours is before
I'm
that.
I'm more like like mid 70s, like big red machine, like the legendary World Series Reds. Like I saw them as a kid play.
I'm jealous because I always think that I've been born in the wrong generation for baseball players.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah.
I love the Reds.
It was either two summers in a row or like two out of three that we took trips south and stopped. Like Cincinnati was a good day's drive. You know, the 8-hour drive or thereabouts. Just good enough to push far enough on a day. You know, leave real early. It's still dark out. Hit the road. Drive. Want to stop 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Check into a motel and like, hey, let's go to the baseball game. Like that was, we'd check the schedule. The Reds are home, and like I can remember like the whole thing. I can remember going like driving on the interstate, driving through Cincinnati, and seeing the ballpark and being super excited that we're gonna go to a game, and then going over the bridge into Kentucky, checking into the motel, and like just not being able to wait until we could get back into the car. Like, when are we going over there? And my dad going up to the ticket window and the whole thing. Like, I can see it all. The concourse, like, all of it. Really great memories.
Yeah.
My first two baseball games were there.
I think, recently I was watching Game 1 of the 1976 World Series on YouTube. Reds-Yankees. And the broadcast that's on YouTube starts with the introductions, like the World Series. You know, the players line up on the baselines. And that lineup is all of them. 76 Reds, Game 3 it might have been. Yankee Stadium. It's all of them. I don't know the order. Rose, Griffey, I'm guessing. Rose, Griffey, who would be third? Wasn't Perez.
No. Foster?
Maybe Foster. Whatever. I'm slowing us down here. I mean, around the horn, you've got Bench, Dreesen. Dreesen was the DH, if not the first baseman. Perez was the other.
Yep.
Morgan, Concepcion, Rose, Foster, Geronimo, Griffey.
Good job on Dreesen. I would have forgot about him.
Yeah, they had a DH in the AL Park.
Yep.
And those uniforms are just my favorite. The back of the gray-red uniforms are just my favorite. The way Concepcion's name and Geronimo's name right. loop around the number, right. the huge letters, right. and they did not shrink them for guys with long names.
No, right.
And they are all, I think, so cool.
Right. It almost seems like the C in the N in Concepcion is like they're on his shoulder blades, like the bottom of his shoulder blades.
Way down. Right. Ribs even.
It's like
maybe.
It's like a U. You know. It's
awesome.
Really, really cool. Yeah.
And all those and Anderson, the manager, who's the first to be announced, number 10. Like I have some obsession with those jerseys and those players. I've never owned one, but. It's one of my all-time favorite looks, the Reds and the names. Like, Rose 14 is classic. Mm-hmm. Bench 5 is classic. I would love any of them, to wear any of them. Gary Nolan was the pitcher. I don't know much about him. Like, that's not iconic in any way. But the rest, otherwise, that whole lineup is.
Yep.
Geronimo, what a cool name.
Yeah.
Cesar Geronimo, 20. Great number, great name.
It's funny, I don't remember the pitchers really at all there. You know, like I even should know from like the year before when they played the Red Sox, but I really don't have it.
You want to know?
Probably
not. Why would you?
I don't know. I might like
Nolan, Billingham, Gullett.
Gullett, Don Gullett, I was going to guess, at least him.
Gullett won, I think Gullett won 4 in a row because he was on the Yankees in 77 and 78.
Okay. He's the only one I know those names, of course, but he's the only one that I could have given you just now, Don Gullett.
Clay Carroll, Raleigh Eastwick.
I was thinking Clay Kirby. Clay Carroll.
Clay Kirby and Clay Carroll.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Eastwick, McEnany.
All the Clays.
Anderson loved to take his pitchers out. He loved to write. He would love. He's dead, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Right?
Is he dead? I think he's dead. I think Sparky's dead.
Yeah.
I think he would have loved the opener. The Brian Kenny's term for
it. Oh, sure.
Starting with relievers.
Ramos thing.
He basically did. Romo,
thank you.
He basically did. Yeah. He would get those guys right out of there. What is Joe's favorite memory of this show?
I've been thinking about how I wanted to try to do this with you. And I think what I want to do, rather than just tell you what Joe mentioned to me, is try to see if you can remember it based on where we were. Because there's a few things, at least to me, that I think, you know, you mentioned earlier, like sometimes we remember these things differently. But there is one of the times that we were at the auto show together, and we were doing the show in a different spot than we often have before. Like we've been there a few different times, and I feel like we're always like near where the end where the stairs where people come up and enter the second floor of the convention center. This time we were more towards the back wall where the bathrooms are, and we had Fred Jackson on. From the auto show. And
on the phone?
No, he was there in person because I remember him coming over and sitting with us and you remarking to him about his watch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He had a really...
Was Nathan Gerby on with us that day?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I just remember Fred, and I remember this comment about the watch.
Andre Reed?
We talked about it on the air. I don't know.
Maybe I have a different day.
It could be.
I don't have this one.
Okay. And that was really enjoyable. And at some point, like later, after Fred had been on, maybe in the final hour of the show, you started talking about, I think if I remember correctly, you needed to pick up some food for Samson.
Okay.
So you Googled like pet stores or something. And we ended up just talked about dog food. Our boss sometimes has mentioned this to us. Alan, you liked the conversation because you said...
Thurman's dog?
Me?
That was a different day.
Yeah?
I remember where I was for the... What he mentions to me is a thing about when Thurman's dog died. But go ahead.
Okay.
Never mind that.
Okay. All right. So we're talking about dog food and you needed to get dog food. And Joe mentioned to me... I don't think it was a whole show, but I remember you guys making up names for pet stores.
Oh, yeah?
And then Greg would have been here.
Yeah, Greg loved that.
And what Joe remembered was Wagman's. and I think because Greg was here, like Greg is just really, really, really quick and good with that sort of thing.
Oh,
we were just riffing on like just like, you know, kind of like the haircut places, you know, like the main event,
right.
Here's the cut, whatever.
The cut above,
all that, all, whatever, right?
Sheer madness.
Right. But we were just doing that with, I took a picture, I think, of a place in Lockport a month ago and tweeted it at Greg because I saw the name.
Yeah.
I always think of him for those, but
I would split. When I don't remember that, I kind of do. When that kind of thing would happen in here, we've each got our own computer screen and the producer can type us messages at the bottom of the screen and Greg would just go off. And like you could hardly ever mention what he was typing in.
Right.
But it was just to amuse himself and us.
I don't think I had the computer screen that he was typing on back then. Because we've got more monitors than we've ever had now.
The raunchiest versions of all of those things were just like right here in front of me.
Right. Well, so then the thing that our boss mentions to you is a different conversation.
Yes.
Where you said you were going off about how dog food, it must be better now.
Like, well, no, it was.
Or something like that.
I was very proud of this. We were at Fisher. It might have been the day we invented the golf bet, too, because the PGA was in Rochester. We were. It was one of these training camp days, and Thurman Thomas lost his dog.
Mm-hmm.
His dog died. And he must have tweeted that. Like, it's not something that Thurman would tell me.
Text you to tell you, right. Hey, my dog died. Right.
Right. Okay. Right. So he must have tweeted it. And I just, it was one of these moments that we have every day. We're like, okay, what are we going to say next? And so it was coming up on a break or something. I'm like, well, sad to hear that Thurman Thomas's dog died. Are dogs living longer?
Right.
Our boss loved that.
Right.
Are dogs living longer? And you're like, I don't think so.
Right.
Like, well, why shouldn't they be?
Right.
Isn't the food better? Isn't medicine better?
Right.
Isn't it just evolution? Like, why wouldn't dogs? I bet my voice is raised now because I'm like really feeling this Why aren't dogs living longer? Right. Why wouldn't they be?
The way I remember our boss telling the story is like you went for a while about like building this case, and then there was a pause, and I just went like, I don't think so.
Yeah. Like, whatever.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think any of that's right.
I think they've got to be living longer.
That's two different dog stories then. Yeah.
My dog right now, it's about, the thing on my mind is about doorbells. Because it wasn't like, you know, a doorbell rings on a sitcom or whatever. It's not even a doorbell, just any bell.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching a show very peacefully,
right.
And there happens to be a bell on the show, and he just flips.
Yeah.
Really, come on, Samp. You're 11. Figure out that that's not someone at our door.
My wife did one of the best things either of us have ever done for any of the dogs that we've, now that we've had lots and lots of dogs. We had Maggie, who was a Mastiff, and then Pearl, who was also a Mastiff, and now we've got Fred, who's this little French mini bulldog terrier mix, and he's just he's a bundle of energy, and he is a handful, even though he's so little, to walk. He really, you just put him on a leash and he just is going to, he's going to pull. We've had a very hard time trying to teach him how to walk calmly by your side. She bought him this harness, basically. Like it goes over his head and then just buckles in, and then you clip the leash to about the middle of his back. I walked him with that thing yesterday, and like he was like walking at my side looking at me like, are we okay? Is everything okay? Is this good? I'm good, right?
Yeah, we have one of those.
And I'm like, wow, this is what a revelation. Like, it's incredible. And then today she left to go to the cottage, 11 in the morning or something. And she has this little hookup in her car now where you have him in that thing and you clip him to the seatbelt. So he's in the passenger seat with her driving, and he can move around, but not driving with him has been always really hard if you're alone, because he's just going to be all over you,
mm-hmm.
and like, it's not really safe. Now he's like clipped in, so he's like, he's that dog that's hanging out the window, mm-hmm. but he's buckled. And it was hilarious, like watching them drive away, and he's just like hanging out the window like, I'm so cool, look at this, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And this thing is, it's a godsend. This harness is great.
I feel like odds are good he's going to live a long time. Just think the world's set up nicely for him. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I am going to go with the Vegas Golden Knights, and the reason is simple, and it's goaltending of Marc-Andre Fleury. I love Braden Holtby. This is no disrespect to him. You know, he's had a wonderful March here, but if you're giving the edge in that position, I mean, Fleury is on a Conn Smythe path here, is he not? You know, because of that, and because of his knowledge, his experience, everything that it takes to win that Stanley Cup, and what he did in helping Pittsburgh Penguins win multiple Stanley Cups, I feel like that could be the difference maker.
Okay, Darren Dreger of the Instigators is probably among the most popular, you know, pretty basic, you know, solid takes that you're going to get. Right?
The goalie's saving 95% of the shots on him. You'd like him to be a difference maker, probably. Yeah, I can hear that.
No way to know. But Fleury has not let up. He's just not. Through three rounds, he has not let up. It's insane. He's on a all-time playoff run for any goalie. And so, like, he does that again, they'll win.
Yep.
Washington's guy does that, they'll win. If they both do it, it will never end. It will just go on forever.
Right.
No one will ever score.
Right.
And every game, well, they won't even get to the second game, because the first game will take years.
A scoreless tie.
Yep. So, I don't know. I was not thinking of anything there. I'm excited for the fantasy draft coming up in 22 days. Yeah, always lean back on that, Mike.
Yeah, right.
That's what I do.
I'm down. I don't want Vegas to win the Stanley Cup. I recognize what a cool story it is, and I feel kind of like a jerk not liking it, but they're playing one of my favorite players in the league, and Ovechkin has been one of my favorites for a long, long time. So, and I'm crushing on a couple of different guys on the Capitals. This Verona kid, I think, is going to be someone you're going to see a lot of in the years moving forward.
Where's he? What's his story, Verona?
He was a relatively high pick for that. I mean, like a not a high first round pick, but I think he's a highly touted guy. When they brought him up this year, it was a big deal. Jacob Verona, and I think he's got a lot to offer. He's good size. He really moves well, and he rang one off the post early in Game 7 the other night, and I thought for sure he was going to score. I think like a lot of times during this series, like he just jumps off the ice to me. Not because I'm going in looking for him. Now I am, but like when the series began. He was just someone that I kept noticing. So do I have his background anywhere near right? Like I don't, I'm not like an expert on the guy. I've not really like Googled him or anything, but I'm really high on his future. But
13th overall pick.
Okay.
In the 14 draft.
All right.
So that's Reinhardt.
Okay. Yeah. He looks really nice to me, but I've liked Kuznetsov a lot. And I think he's really become a tremendous top end player in the league too. But you know, Ovechkin is just the thing to me. Like I've liked him a lot. I think he's gotten a lot of criticism. I've criticized him at times, but having him in the final is just fantastic. And so like, I don't know. It's not as compelling as first year team makes it, but having one of the greatest players of this generation who's not won a championship be in the way of this Vegas story, I think is pretty awesome. So I'll be on Team Capitals for this, pulling for them and him.
And that's Monday night.
Right.
I've just got no action. I am just the flame has been right. Doused here. Is that right? It's been put out.
I guess if you got nothing going.
I've got nothing left. I bet against Vegas more than once. I had Tampa. I had Boston at one time. I had Toronto at one time. Like, just everything I've touched with hockey this year has gone wrong for me. I mean, you can't predict the goalie, and if the goalie, that's just not to make excuses. That's part of it. You should know that if you're betting. what are you going to do? They just could not score on. None of these teams have been able to score on him.
Right.
Winnipeg had lots of good players, and they had plenty of chances in their games. They just couldn't score.
It's not like Vegas is just running these teams over.
They're playing them pretty even.
Yeah, right. Right.
Which is an accomplishment.
But they're giving up. I mean, he's making like 35 saves in these games. So it's not like he's sitting there like Marty Brodeur in the 90s like going, oh, I got 21 saves. Yeah, look at me. No, I mean, he's being tested.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah.
803-0550. You want to talk sports with us? Give us a call. We've got another hour to go. We'll have our chat with John Clayton coming up within that. Memorial Day weekend should be awesome, hot, sunny. Let's go. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.